Okay, so we're moving into Baruch Sha'amar. Start with an introduction. The Taz tells us that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah instituted reciting this bracha after a note fell from Shemayim with Baruch Sha'amar written on it. And the Torah says that you have to recite it as a sweet song because in Shemayim it's considered a beautiful song. And as it contains 87 words, for, as it says, Rosho Kesem Paz, his head is fine gold. And the Kuntres Parperes Latfila says that Hashem spoke in the Torah to Moshe, Aaron, or both of them, 87 times, using the words Vaidaber or Vayomer Hashem al Moshe / Aaron Lamer. And the acronym of this pasuk, which equals 87, is Vayimale, may he fulfill, as in Vayimale Hashem Mishalas Libeinu, that Hashem should fulfill the desires of the requests of our heart. And the Zeruah tells us it should be said standing. Now Baruch Shema has two parts. The first part are the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second part is the actual body of the bracha itself. There's a minhag to hold the front two tzitzis, to look at them at least during the first part of Baruch Sha'amar. The reason for this is the two tzitzis are composed of 8 threads and 5 knots each. Together that equals 26, which is the Shem of Hashem, Yudke Vavke. And by looking at your tzitzis, you're reminded to concentrate on that Shem of Hashem.
And
8 and 8 and 5 and 5 is 26. Or 8 and 5 and 8 and 5. Because it's two, you're holding two of them. Right. Right. And actually, and I didn't get into here, but there are those who tie the whole first half of the Baruch of Baruch Shamar into the Shem of Hashem, that Yud Kei Vav Kei, how each Baruch something ties and relates to something to it. And the Arizal notes, it says Baruch 13 times in this Baruch to respond or corresponding to the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that as we say each word of Baruch, it brings forth one of those Midos of Hashem's Rachamim. And the Aruch HaShulchan also says it's connected to 13 parts of Psuga de Zimra. The Zohar tells us there are 13 praises in Yishtabach. So we see that 13 is a very big number within Psuga de Zimra. And again, perhaps it's because we are trying to awaken Hashem's Rachamim through those Yud Gimel Midos, that he'll accept our tefillos and disable the prosecuting malachim that don't want the tefillos to reach Hashem, that his Yud Gimel Midos will accept our tefillos. And the tzaddikim used to invest enormous effort into reciting Baruch Sha'amar. They would hang on to each word, and they would say it with love and with ecstasy. Now, we had mentioned in the past that at this point in davening, it's as if we go back to the Beis HaMikdash, that we're entering into the Ulam. Now, the Ulam was a tall, intimidating antechamber that led into the Heichal. And we, too, are faced with that daunting challenge at this point of trying to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what a daunting task that is. Where do we begin? And the answer is we begin with Baruch Sha'amar. And it's impossible to even know where to start praising Hashem. And therefore, he sent us this note telling us exactly what to say. And not because he needs this praise, but it's for us because we need to give this praise. And we also mentioned the Maharal had said that Psuka de Zimra, he found an allusion to it in the pasuk of Lishmo El Arena Vela Tfila, that we said Psuka de Zimra is the Rina. And Shimshin Pinkus explains Rina is a Tfila of joy, of Simcha. And therefore, not only do you have to daven with a deep kavana, deep concentration, but you also have to say Psuka de Zimra with a joy that we're thrilled that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he loves us and he cares for us. And we need to be grateful that these words of the tefillah were laid out for us, because otherwise we would never be able to come up with the adequate words. And he says, imagine you have a scenario of a father of many children who is celebrating a milestone, and each child is writing a tribute to their father. And the youngest child just can't put it into words what he wants to say. And his mother sits down with him and helps him put his thoughts together into the adequate words. This is Baruch Sha'amar, where we now have a way to express praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how we end the bracha. We say, Melech Mehul Bat Tishbachos. We're not just saying the obvious, that he's a king who's lauded with praises, but we're saying and conveying the idea that Hashem is accepting our praises because he knows how much we really want to express it to him, and therefore he's a king who accepts those praises. Now, as we go through the bracha, we say, Baruch Sha'amar V'hoya Olam Baruch Hu. Hashem created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, was out of nothingness, through the Asara Mamoros, and he did not abandon his creation. He did not abandon our world, as we then continue and say, Baruch Omer Va'osa. And they point out that the first time we said the word Omar, it was in past, we said She'omar. This second time we're saying Omer, it's now in the present tense. And the reason it's now in the present tense is because creation is ongoing. And the world exists at any given moment only because Hashem is willing it to be in existence at that moment. And Hashem is constantly renewing His creation as we see through Hashgacha Pratus and everything that transpires in our lives. His hand is constantly there. We then continue and say, Baruch Gozer U'Mekayim. Now, in our lowly world, you look at any head of state, any aspiring politician, they make empty promises which they cannot fulfill, have no intention of fulfilling. However, the Torah tells us, when it comes to Hashem, Hashem is not a man, that He should be deceitful, nor a human being, that he should relent, would He say and not do, or speak and not confirm. And Hashem's not that way. Whatever He goes there, He's Mekayim. There's another aspect of this absolute faithfulness and in that Hashem upholds His utterances. And that is, we say in Animamim, that the Torah will not be exchanged, nor will there be any other form from the Creator. And therefore the Torah, just like its author, is eternal. And it's the blueprint for the universe, and it will remain that way forever. And the Sklaner Rebbe had a third thought, and while he was suffering prosecution and he was in prison at the hands of the Romanian government due to the fact of trying to keep the Torah, so while he was languishing in prison one morning, he had a question. He said, normally the word gozer, when it comes to being tied to the working of Hashem, usually is a decree that's unpleasant. It's a form of punishment. He says, the entire bracha of Baruch Shem is talking about bracha, compassion. So what could gozer mekayim mean that works in the positive? And he explained that gozer really does refer to the suffering that Hashem decrees on us. But it's gozer u'mekayim. Hashem is mekayim us. He sustains us. He gives us the ability to endure that even in the midst of being broken and we're suffering and we're saying that blessed is He who decrees suffering upon a person but sustains him, that no matter how broken his body is, he will endure and be able to survive and remain among the living. And he came up with this as he was going through such physical and such difficult times. But that's really, many of us have moments in life where it's difficult and Hashem is gozer, but yet mekayim us. That He's decreeing some sort of suffering, but then He's mekayim us that we're able to endure it. Baruch Osev Veracious. So we say, blessed is He who maintains creation. And it also could be interpreted that blessed is He who affects the happenings in His creation according to the Torah, which begins with the word Bereishis. And the Torah's insights and rulings of the tzaddikim in any given generation can literally affect the changes in the world. And I think we mentioned this story here already. There was someone who lived in the town of Luzhin that had a lung issue. And people told him, if you go to Switzerland, the air is clearer, you'll have a better chance of survival. And the night before he was ready to leave, his father came to him in a dream and said, don't go. He says, and I'll explain this to you. He says, there's a machlokes between the Shagas Aryeh, who was a Rav in Volozhin a couple hundred years earlier, and the other Gedolim of the time, that this type of lung ailment in an animal, is it considered a trefa that it will die within the year or not? The other Gedolim say it is, and the Shagas Aryeh said it's not. Therefore, as long as you're in Volozhin, you're under the ruling of the Shagas Aryeh, and therefore you're not considered a trefa, and you'll live. The minute you leave Volozhin, you're now in the hands of the other Gedolim, and therefore you're not going to live as well, and the end of the story was that he lived to a long old age, even with this ailment. Baruch Merachim al Haaretz, so He has mercy on the earth. Commonly we associate feelings, emotions with human beings, and to a lesser degree with the animal kingdom. However, every single one of Hashem's creations has a desire to fulfill the purpose for which it was created. And in doing so, becomes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Earth, the ground, is the lowest form of creation. Yet, Chazal tell us it's called Eretz because it runs, it ruts to fulfill its purpose. When it produces fruit and plant life, that's how it fulfills its purpose. But not all land has that ability or is intended to grow and plants and fruits. And therefore, when a Jew walks on it to go do a mitzvah, the land is also then fulfilling its purpose. And what we're saying here is we're asking Hashem to have mercy on the earth of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, that we can return there to serve Him as in the days that have gone by. Baruch Merachim al Habrios. So we're the ones who initiate Hashem's compassion towards animals and other creatures. That when we're merciful towards animals, then Hashem's mercy comes down to them also. And once Hashem's mercy begins to flow, then man benefits from that as well. As it says, both man and beast you save, O Hashem. And the Medrash tells us, man, in the animal's merit, is saved by Hashem. And there are times that there are ketrugim against men. There are things that Hashem, you know, wants to bring against us. But if we show that Rachmanis to the animals, that will, and again, initiate Hashem's Rachmanis, and by once the Rachmanis is flowing, it saves us also. Baruch Mishalim Socha Tov Lireyov, and the Chovos Alvavos discusses at great length the constant wonders and acts of kindness which Hashem blesses each and every one of us from the moment we enter this world. And were we to spend a lifetime thanking Hashem for even one of this infinite kindness, it would not be sufficient. Yet Hashem acts towards us as if we owe Him nothing. He rewards us for every good deed, every good word, every thought, and He grants reward even to the lireyov, to those who fear Him. And Rav Shimon Schwab says, imagine stopping at a red light, walking over to the policeman there and saying, can I have a reward for stopping? The officer would think you're nuts. But yet, that's what Hashem does for us. We say, you know what, Hashem, I didn't do the Aveira, I want a reward now. So, in the same way, but yet, Hashem gives reward, even when it's just because we fear Him. Baruch Po Deu Matzil. So in Kapitel Lamed Dalet in Tehillim, which we happen to say every Shabbos morning, it follows the Aleph Beis except for the first and last psukim. And the last two psukim are Timosis Rosh Hero, Vesoni Tzadik Yishamu, and then Poda Hashem Nevesh Avodov, Lo Yeshmu Kol Chosim Bo. And Rav Tzadik Hakohen of Lublin explains that there are two ways through which Hashem judges man and guides our lives. Sometimes it's through din, where we're rewarded and punished based on our deeds, on our actions. And other times, it's that we're beneficiaries of Hashem's Rachmanis, of His compassion, and He redeems us from the travails that, despite the fact that we do not deserve it, we have not earned this, yet His compassion will come, and that's known as a pidyon. And this last pasuk, which does not follow the order of the Aleph Beis, is telling us that when Hashem goes in this route of a pidyon, it's beyond the normal reward and punishment. It's an expression of Hashem's love for us that is unconditional, and it's eternal, and it brings a Yeshua whether we deserve it or not. And that's what we're saying, by Po Deo Matzel, we get this pidyon and we are saved. Now we move into the second half of Baruch Sha'amar. And Rav Shimon Schwab points out that there are various terms used here that we praise Hashem with, and each one of them is different and not synonymous. We start Hakel Avarachamon. The word Hakel refers to the concept that Hashem's almighty in the sense that He's not governed or restricted by His midos. And that means that Hashem can and does relate to humanity with mercy, again, even when we don't deserve it. Normally, if you take any one of us, we only can have compassion on someone when it's more deserving. But when someone spites you and continuously does wrong to you, there's a point where we no longer can have that compassion. Yet Hashem's not governed in that same way. And although we may not understand it, Hashem acts as that merciful Father towards all of us, again, albeit even undeservingly. And were it not for this fact, we would have long ago ceased to exist. Hamuhul b'fe amo. While many of the nations of the world also praise Hashem, it's only Amo that praises Him as Hashem Echad. And grammatically, it really should have said b'fi, because we're in the plural. Yet the Arizal says we use the singular b'fe, because b'fe is gematria again 87, alluding to the 87 words of Baruch Sha'amar. We then say Meshubach, Mufar, Bolshain Chasidav, Avadav. Chasidav are His devout ones, who serve Hashem out of love. Avadav are the servants that serve Hashem out of awe, out of fear, which is a lower level. And because of this, there's an essential difference in how they praise Hashem and how their davening looks. For the Chasidim, davening is a joyous, exhilarating experience. There's a simcha there to it. For the Avodav, it's more an obligation that they faithfully fulfill, but there's a difference in how they relate to it. Now, Lelcha Hashem Elokeinu, so Bishvachos refers to Mizmol Soda, Uvizmiros is to Ashrei and the Halukas, Negadelchas has Yashir, Nishabechas Yishtabach, Nefererchas Birchas Kriyashma, Venamlichachav and Askish Shimchas to Kabbalah Sol Malchishmaim to Kriyashma, Malkenu, Alkenu Yachachay Olamim Shmanesre as the Chay equals 18, Meshubach Mefar is to Ashrei and Uvol Tzion. And Rav Shimon Schwab breaks them down individually. He says there are five praises here, five expressions. And they go to the five parts of Psukah D'Zimra. And they follow in order where each one adds something that the last one did not have. Nigadelcha was simply just magnifying certain aspects of Hashem, which people are usually not aware of. There's another meaning of Gedel, which is intertwined. And Nigadelcha, Rosh Shimon Schwab says, is the technique that we use in Psukah D'Zimra, where we combine various psukim together. Sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes even one, that just fit into the context. And it's making a bouquet of various shvachim. And this expresses a certain harmony of thought, just like a florist that makes up a beautiful arrangement of flowers. And in this way, we praise Hashem not by pointing out one particular relationship that we have with Him, but rather by combining various aspects of our perception of Him. Unishabechecha, the word shvach, usually we translate as praise. However, it really means lahashbiach, to improve something. And this expression refers to those occasions and situations in life which we cannot clearly see Hashem as the Tovu Meitiv, someone who's absolutely good. And there are situations when we must accept the reverse as Gamzul Tova. As the Mishnah tells us, Chayiv Adam Levarech Al Harok, Shem Shem Levarech Al Tova, a person's chayiv to make a bracha on what to us is bad, just like he makes a bracha on the good. And this acceptance is expressed as Yahalu Hashimcha Be'emes, which is called Shvach. And this means that regardless of how Hashem is relating to us, we mashpiach Him in a sense that we improve our perception of Him. In all of life's occurrences, good or otherwise, is always being entirely good. Unifa'erecha, the literal meaning of pe'er is a crown, which is worn above our head. So we're praising Hashem concerning the aspects of Him which are higher than our minds can grasp. V'naskir shimcha. So again, there during certain periods of our lives, it appears that Hashem's forsaken us. And we have to remind ourselves that He never has forsaken us. We have to reinforce our munah b'tachan by reminding ourselves that Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. As the Pasuk says, Imo Anochi B'tzara, and therefore V'nas Yashimcha, we remember, we mention His name. Then we say V'nam Licha Malkeinu Alkeinu Yachid, we subject ourselves totally and unconditionally to His will. And that's the Kaval Sol Malchus Shemayim, that Hashem's fully in charge of us, and we accept Him entirely. Chei Olamim, again, nothing would exist if Hashem was not constantly giving life. Melech Meshubach Mefire Adiachim Ha'Gadol, even when we're no longer in this world to praise Hashem, yet His praises continue forever. And the bracha then ends, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Mehulol Batishbachos. And Rosh Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains, the word Hallel is the PL form of the word Halol, which means to shine a light on something. However, Hallel in this form means really to reflect the light away. And when we use the words of Hallel or Hallelo Mehulol, when we're expressing praise of Hashem, what we're really saying is we're reflecting back to Hashem all the blessings which He has given us through our praises. And our praises of Hashem are therefore an acknowledgement that He's the source of all the brachos in our lives, and we should contemplate how utterly fortunate we are that we have this privilege every day of our lives to stand before Him in tefillah and to declare His praises. We'll close as we do with a story. And then with the weekly homework, this week we'll do a short one. Next week I'm trying to figure out, I have a 9-page story, I'm not sure how we'll do that. Maybe I'll just make copies. We'll see. So, Rav Tuvia Goldstein, the yeshiva of Yeshiva Emek Halach in Brooklyn, told over a story that when he was in Baranovich by Rav Elchanan Wasserman, said one evening Rav Elchanan was not feeling well, so he asked a group of students, Talmidim, to come from the yeshiva to his house so he can daven marav with a minyan. And Rav Tuvia was amongst that group that was able to come. And one of the bachrim who had just joined the yeshiva, you know, didn't really know the yeshiva well enough yet, he was asked to be the chazan. And he wasn't used to davening at the pace yeshiva boys daven at. He was used to the balabatim. And he davened at a quicker pace. And as the bachur was speeding through davening, Rav Elchanan looked up at him numerous times, surprised and annoyed. And it was obvious he had no idea how Yeshiva Bachram was supposed to daven. When the davening was over, Rav Elchanan called the young man over. He asked him his name. He asked him where he came from. Then he gently told him, he said, young man, I want you to know that the pasuk that says, V'nastem v'ein rodef eschem, you're going to run away even when no one is chasing you, is part of the tochecha. And Rav Elchanan was just pointing out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at someone who runs through davening in that same dread is when a person has that paranoia that someone's running after me when there's really not. And therefore, just like in both cases, Just like in the case when no one's running after them, it's unjustified to be running. He said, so too within your davening, it's unjustified to be running through it. And the obviously weekly homework is somewhere during this week to at least take one morning and go through Baruch Shamar a little bit, thinking about what we're saying and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu with.